Yes. Today we're going to talk about what is revival. And we're going to just kind of look at it in plain English and get our minds set on that so that we can prepare our hearts and our spirits, you know, what God has and what it takes in us. You know, revival, again, is not something that we muster up, but it's something that God comes and brings and pours out to his people, all right? But there's many, many scriptures about being revived in the Bible. And Psalms 85:6 says, "Will you not revive us again that your people may rejoice in you?" And I've seen it many times where people just come to church, they do their thing, and they leave. They come to church, they do their thing, and they leave. And the reality of them really receiving and understanding who God is, maybe they just go and they just want to fill a spot, you know. But to me, I can't understand that mindset. I'm not saying everybody is like that. But God has just been talking to me about spiritual revival and just keeping my flame burning, you know, being on fire for God. Because we are living in the last days, right? Yes, flame on. We're living in the last days. And so Jesus can come any time. That's what I believe. And we want him to come for a bride that's ready and a bride that's on fire for him and hungry for him. And I've always longed to see revival in my own church, even as a little girl when I accepted Christ in my heart. It just was a burning passion within me. And I was taught about revival, and we were told about revival is coming. I've kind of experienced some things in previous churches where you're thinking, yeah, this is it. You're just seeing people hanging at the altar, and you're seeing people being touched. We're going to see some signs of revival, of true revival. If you would look at the history of revival, and you would see some of the main elements of a revival, you would see, and we're going to talk about that, you would see people coming to know Christ as one of the hugest things. You would also see repentance. So getting ahead of myself, but I'm just showing you, it's more than just the same old everyday church. That's what I'm talking about, okay? And all I knew was, when I was little, was that I was hungry for God, and that hunger continues to burn in me every day, every day, every day. That's who I am. Some people have said, "Man, don't you ever relax about God?" And I'm like, no. No. That's right. And then some people have said, "You have such, your passion is contagious." And that's what I want, because his passion is on me. And let's just get more people involved with who God is. You know, eternity is a long time. I don't want to see anybody spend eternity in hell. Okay? I want to give them whatever they can through Jesus to be able to not only have eternity in heaven, but also on this earth to have a life more abundantly. All right. It's hard for me to imagine life without being intense about God. It really is. I received Jesus Christ in my heart as my personal Lord and Savior at the age of 9. And I remember I wanted to tell everyone and anyone about God. Because at the age of 9, and the concepts, what I thought about God and why I went forward to ask Jesus in my heart, at that moment, all I knew was my life was chaos. I was living in a home where I was abused by my stepdad. He would beat my mom and beat my sister and I. And I just wanted peace in the home. I wanted help, okay? And so I just was running to Jesus because they said, "Accept Jesus in your heart as Lord and Savior." And I'm like, everything else isn't working. He's got to fix me. He's got to fix my mom. He's got to fix my house. And so at that age, I wanted everyone to know about Jesus because he changed me. Passion grew in me to see people transformed and changed by the power of God. And now, as an adult, I still feel the same. But that passion has grown immensely, and my desire to see people changed, sometimes it just overwhelms me. I can look at people and I can see the hurt and I can see what they're going through. And it just overtakes me sometimes. You know, there was a lady, as I was saying, that she came and she looked at one of our little information about Hope Fellowship on the wall as you walk in. And she goes, "Oh no, I'm not going to go in," or something like that. And I said, "Do you have a need? Do you have anything you'd like us to pray for?" And she said, "My husband's in the hospital." And I'm like, "Well, we'll pray for him. Sorry, I didn't say her." And I said, "You don't even have to come in." And she couldn't even stand there. She had to walk away because she was crying so much. She goes, I can't talk about it. But to me, that's who needs Jesus, you know. And that's in a desperate situation. And there's so many people out there like this lady. There's so many people out there that think that they are okay and they are living their life. But way down deep inside, they are lonely. They don't feel hope. They're hopeless. They probably hate, some of them hate life. And that's not how we as Christians should live, right?
That's right.
No, we should live excited about every day, knowing that it's a brand new day. God has it full of surprises for us. And we want to touch people for his kingdom. So what about you? Do you hunger? Or do you have a passion for God? And to what extent are you willing to satisfy that hunger? And if you don't, maybe you need to be revived in your spirit. Okay? That's what I want to talk about. So what is revival? When you desire to see his name glorified, you are desiring revival. Did you know that? When you seek to motivate the church, you are seeking revival. When you are burdened by the sin within the church, you are burdened for a revival. Because, believe it or not, there's sin in the church, there's sin out of the church. You know, we're all imperfect. But if we see that the sin that we do and the things that we, even bickering between each other, and thank God that's not in Hope Fellowship, but, you know, the gossip or the tension or the warfare, that's not okay. And that's not what God created the church to be or to function. And so if you have a desire to see that eradicated from the church, that's the spirit of revival. Did you know that? And so when you ask the Lord to fan the flame within your own heart, you are asking for revival. And that's the plain bottom line of it all. A revival is not the church deciding to do something and doing it. Because the church can have all these programs. Let's start this. Let's start that. And I think most of it's good intentions. Part of it is just, I think, makes them busy. It makes it look good, but it's not. Most of them don't accomplish anything. It only takes care of people from within. And if we're a dead sea, in other words, if things come in, God brings things into the church, but we're not willing to give out and to reach out and to want more for others, then we become a dead sea, because that means all that stuff comes in and then it just kind of, we have been fed much. We should give out more, don't you think?
Amen.
So we don't want to be a dead sea. So it's not something that the church decides to do. We're going to do this program so we can start revival. That's not how revival happens. It is something that happens or is done to the church by God. And it is an awakening to who God is and a longing to be close to him and follow his word. Here's another verse about being revived. In the Amplified Bible, it says, consider how I love your precepts. Revive me and give life to me, O Lord, according to your loving kindness. You know, this was the writer of Psalms. And if this was David, because Psalms was written by so many different authors, could you imagine? The very man who was a man after God's own heart is saying, revive me. If he says that, surely we should say that, right? So we need to be revived. If we were to start experiencing revival today, what would it look like? Are we in revival even now? So what is revival? Revival is a spontaneous outpouring of the presence and power of God that moves the people to respond. First and foremost, it's an outpouring. It's an awakening. I wish we had time to just go through the different, in history of just America, the different revivals that have come. You know, the Welsh Revival, the Azusa Street Revival. Even before all of that, there was many other revivals. In the 70s, there was a revival. The Jesus Movement is considered a revival. Do you know that?
I believe that.
Yeah. So all of these different revivals would wake up people. When 9/11 happened, I thought for sure revival was going to happen, because people were crying out to God. But then in a short amount of time, people just quit. And then the same old happened. And our nation yeah, we went to war and we just experienced a lot of hardships in the economy. And I'm not saying all of that is because we didn't have revival. I'm just saying we just went through some stuff. But people have a tendency, whenever there is tragedy, whenever there's a hard situation, okay, calamity, that's when they turn to God. And then when it seems like it subsides, then they just kind of do their own thing. And that's not what God wants. God wants us to be hungry for Him 24/7, 7 days a week, right? Amen. So a spontaneous outpouring is what God pours into us. He's looking for hungry hearts. God's looking for hungry hearts. Are you hungry for Him? Only God woos and draws the heart to Him. His Holy Spirit pricks the heart to respond to His drawing. It is God who pours out His Spirit upon all flesh. Something happens when you are in the presence of the Lord. And once you have experienced it, you are never the same. A true sign of revival are people longing and lingering in the presence of God. They don't care about the time. They don't have an agenda. God is their agenda, right? To me, that's a true sign. Those are cool flavors of revival, okay? Number two, revival is a heart of repentance and obedience. Repentance and obedience is another sign of true revival. Throughout the history, the church and the revivals that have taken place, repentance is one of the main signs that have been manifested. People can't help but repenting and asking for forgiveness when the presence of the Lord has saturated the place. I've heard stories after stories of, you know, people in the bars just coming, rushing to wherever that revival is happening. Because it has, or people out in the streets, they would just feel compelled to go in, and they didn't know why. And normally they would never step foot into a church. And once they did come in, they were overwhelmed by the presence of the Lord, or they would run to the altars and cry and repent. I've seen churches that revivals have started within the church in that the actual leaders start repenting of the things that they were involved with. You know, no one is exempt. No one is holier than thou. Every one of us daily needs to repent for the things that we might have done or said or experienced. So a heart of repentance and obedience. Number three is a hunger for God and the things of God, like I said. So revival is an awakening of our hearts to God and the things of God. It is an awareness of our need for more of God. Hunger makes one do desperate things, don't we? If you're hungry in the natural, how do you respond? You know, first of all, I get irritable. But then that irritability kind of turns into almost desperation. I've got to get food in my mouth. To the point where if I don't, you start getting shaky. Your body starts doing things, okay? And so that's in the natural. Desperation makes one run to the source to be satisfied. So with God, He will always satisfy those who hunger and thirst after Him. We shall be filled. That's what Scripture says. We shall be filled. And something happens too is that once you taste and see the Lord is good, all of a sudden you're hungry for more of God. Where in the natural, you are satisfied once you eat a meal. But eventually, you'll need to eat. If that was breakfast, then lunch, then you're ready for dinner, right? Snacks. Yeah, snacks in between. But most of the time, once in the natural, we eat, we're satisfied for that moment. But in the spiritual, once we eat, we are not satisfied. We want more of God. Okay, number four. A desire to go deeper in Him and to excel to a higher level of spirituality. Once we repent and taste and see that the Lord is good, like I said, we want more. And so it's just, we need to feed that spiritual hunger. Don't starve. Don't starve your spiritual hunger. Don't fast spiritually. You can fast physically, which will help your spiritual life, but don't fast spiritually. Never, ever are we supposed to fast spiritually. In other words, don't say, okay, I'm just going to stay away from God for a while. That's what I'm talking about, okay? You never want to do that. That's not even in my notes here. But Being spiritually hungry builds to more hunger and a desire to go deeper with God. It really makes you want to give your all, unabandoned, to your Creator. Did you know that complacency is not present in a true revival? Satisfying the flesh is never an option when true revival has come. Only satisfying and pleasing God is the main desire. And I put it on my Facebook, and it was talking about in Proverbs where when we have sin, we're supposed to just do away with it and repent and walk away from it, right? And this pleases the heart of God. This shows that you want more of Him. We decrease, that means our flesh, the things that we desire, and then He can increase in our life. Less of us allows more of Him to pour into us, okay? Number five is a realization of our humanity and our need to repent. In true revival, we see our humanity and our need for a Savior. We lose our dignity for His deity. We're not afraid to mess up our hair. That's a big thing for me, okay? So I'm just telling you that. We decrease with our desires to please our flesh, and God increases in us. We see that God is God and we are not. Pride and arrogance is gone, and humility and brokenness is present. We don't get caught up in, you know, what people are wearing. We don't get caught up in our schedule and what time it is. We don't get caught up in the gossip or... And work is work, okay? And it will wait. We know that we have to do that. Our jobs anyway. But I'm just saying, in the moment, when the presence of the Lord is there, we don't care about any of that. It's the time to just go deeper in Jesus. You know, when we come together and worship Him. Love Him. Even if there are songs that you might not like. I can say that because I've been a worship leader for many, many years. You know, we can still worship in the middle of a song that we might not like. Because it's not about the song. It's about the topic of the song, right? Mm-hmm. And it's about our God. Okay, number six. Of true revival. What is revival? It is seeing souls saved. It is seeing lives changed. Not changed for just a few days, but changed forever. Amen. True revival. Seeing souls, people, come to know Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior should be a fruit of true revival. And the revivals in the history all have the common factor of people coming to Christ. If it's all about, you know, man-made things and man-made programs and making up things or even, I don't know, I don't even want to go down that road, but I'm just saying that if you're not seeing souls saved, then you're not experiencing a true revival. We want to see souls saved. How selfish would it be if we just kept this flame for ourselves? It only takes a spark, right? And then all those around will start getting warm and they'll start coming. So, be that light, be that flame. And number seven, what is revival? It is bringing dead things back to life. Now, if you remember during Easter in 2012, just this past year, I preached a sermon, "You Are Never Too Dead for a Resurrection." Do you remember that? It was on a Friday night. Remind yourself there is nothing too dead that God cannot resurrect in your life. Revival. It's reviving something that is dead or something that is asleep, right? Are you asleep this morning? I'm in your face, but this is in my spirit, so I'm just going to let it out. I want to tell you, every one of us need to be revived. I do. You do. Okay? Maintaining and advancing in our relationship with God is a daily nurturing. You know, we can get beaten down by the enemy because he doesn't want us to have a relationship with God. Did you know that his job is to bring division between you and God every chance he gets? Period. Okay? And we're not glorifying him. We're just telling you facts. The key is to not give him any chances. So how do you do that? Well, we guard our hearts and protect our relationship we have with God at every second of every day. Because Scripture says that the enemy is a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Okay? So now we have this information, and we know that that's what's going to happen. If we just ease up and go, I'm just going to relax, okay, then it's like rowing a boat against a current, right? And you're rowing that boat, and you're against the current, and you actually are getting somewhere. But as soon as you stop rowing, then you're going to go with the current, and you're going to keep on going down the opposite direction that you wanted to go. Okay, that's the same in our spiritual life. If we feed it, and we're nurturing, and we're guarding our relationship with God, and then all of a sudden we just kind of get complacent, and we just follow, oh, I don't need to read my Bible today. I don't need to spend time in prayer. I don't even need to think about God because I'm just so busy, okay? Then all of a sudden we take the oars, and what we were paddling upstream, we just kind of sit them, and we're going the opposite direction. If you're not progressing in God, you're going backwards. That's just the bottom line. If you're not progressing in God, you're going backwards. That could preach. I'm just saying. Okay. Psalms 138:7 says, though I walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive me. You will stretch forth your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand will save me. I love this verse because it's saying, even in the middle of trouble, even if I end up getting knocked out, so to speak, you're going to revive me. And you will stretch forth your hand against those that are trying to attack, or the enemy that's trying to attack. And your right hand, do you know that in Scripture when it talks about the right hand, it's talking about the power and the strength of God.